Ramble.
Welcome, smelcome, jelcome all to the tripod. It's York Podcast. You listen to us when you turn on your phone, or yeah, that's where you would listen to us. I'm Zach. I'm here. You also got Keith. He's here.
Hi. hi, it's me. So good to be here. Hi.
I am so sorry, guys. For some reason, my Siri has just been turning on. Nope. There it is. There it is again. Random times. It's quite... If someone else take the intro,
Siri.
My God.
You said Siri,
if you're
right?
Listening to this on speakers... Alexa, play Frozen. Hey, Google, play Frozen. Hey, Siri, play Frozen soundtrack. Oh, shit. Oh, no, it's happening to me. Oh, God. No. Make it stop. I don't know which one is in here. Something beautiful, dangerous, cold.
Then we got Eugene.
I hope I pranked people. I like pranking people.
There we got Miles.
Eugene, you're looking good. You're looking real good today, Eugene. Oh. I'm liking the look.
Thanks.
You kind of look like a rock gym Pokemon trainer to me. You know? You'd have like an Onix and several Geodudes or Gravelers just doing your grunt work for you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I hope all of our fans are Pokemon fans, because like again with the Pokemon, man, I don't even know
what Onix is.
A Graveler, I assume he looks like what a Gravel is.
Guys, 100% Ned is right. We can't just expect that everyone knows stuff about Pokemon. So why don't we fill in what Pokemon gym leader types we would be to give them that context, right?
Right.
Obviously, Eugene is Rock. Are we just getting Ned Fire, Keith Water, I'm Grass?
Well, Eugene probably is a blend. He's probably a rock psychic, or there's also dark Pokemon, so he might just fall. I mean, that would probably also fit the script. I think I'd be interested in water. Always loved Blastoise.
So I get to be fire.
I don't know if this is a gym leader, but I'd sort of be the guy that like can't get past the tree at the very beginning. You know how there's a tree?
Oh yeah, there's a tree.
There's a tree, and he's like, oh, fuck. There's a tree. I can't move.
You're talking about a much more recent Pokemon game.
No. At the very beginning, maybe it's a rock. He's like right in Viridian City, and he's just like, oh, fuck. There's like a rock or a tree in the way.
You have to learn how to cut the tree so you can get by. Well, guys, today on the tripod, we're going to be talking about so much fun stuff. We're going to be playing a rousing game of what would you do? Probably some other bullshit. We're going to jump into it.
We're going to gump into it. You guys love Forrest Gump.
An update from last week. I heard, Ned, you dropped that I went skiing. Not exactly that. I taught Maggie how to ski, so I did no skiing last week. So she has been fixated on the idea of learning how to ski. And so she said, next time it snows, can we go? So I said, sure. And then it snowed. She, in the course of 3 hours, got all of this ski equipment borrowed from friends. We drove up to Big Bear, and they told us about this tiny little bunny slope. So I spent about 5 hours teaching her the French fries and the pizzas. So when ski trips can open up, I will be bringing her along. But she now is like, she's into it. She bought ski pants after going for one day. That was my week. So thanks for letting me play hooky last week, guys.
It was cute. No problem.
Yeah.
Eugene, you're sort of an ice boy. Skiing, yes, no?
No, I mean, feels kind of like it's just so much work to put clothes on. And then you have to carry all your equipment voluntarily. And then you have to ride up to go down. So the majority of the time, you're like basically in a line.
And you gotta wear these boots that don't let your feet flex.
So we took Wes skiing for the first time a couple weeks ago. And a little kid, it's exactly what you're saying, Eugene. Imagine if you're a three-year-old and your parents are like, okay, so we're gonna put on all this bullshit on our bodies for about an hour, and then we'll finally get to do something fun that you don't understand. Like, as soon as he got all of his pants on, all of the ski boots, all of the skis, all of the everything, he was like, all right, I'm done. We went the first day, we just went down the mountain once holding his hand, which was very exciting. But then he's like, okay, I'm done. We did it. But the whole morning of like putting on his pants, making sure he had clothing, a hat, etc. That was probably like 3 hours.
Yeah, kids don't love pants.
No.
Not fans.
No. And the ski boots, I mean, I don't even like the ski boots as an adult. I was pretty impressed though that as far as socially distant activities go, it's like you could keep your distance pretty well on the mountain, and everyone had face covering, so it felt pretty good.
I do feel like every time I've learned to ski, it's humiliating because I'm huge and not very good at skiing, and little kids will be like sliding back on like no poles. They're like weaving in and out, and then I'm like falling over on a bunny.
It's not a tall people sport.
No.
You got to get low.
Your center of gravity is really high.
That's why maybe it's one of the few sports I crush. It's weird.
Because you're
like
little.
The one thing my body totally gets, and I feel like a god out there.
You're just flying down the mountain.
I cannot believe we had a little text thread last night, and I cannot believe, first of all, Ned, that you gave up on WandaVision that quickly, but that, Keith, you haven't even started it. You're the Marvel boy.
I know, but I'm in like, Becky likes to watch multiple shows at once, and I don't typically. So we're like in like six shows. We're like in six different shows, and like two of them are Korean shows. Like one's a Japanese show, one was a French show. It's just like really hard for me to keep my story straight when I'm only reading subtitles. And also like a lot of action ones, and like, wait, okay, no, this guy is this character. And this character. So we're going to start WandaVision, I think, tonight or tomorrow, though. We were talking
honestly,
about
Zach, having you and Eugene's recommendations of it, it will be that much more of a drive to keep going. Because I knew nothing about it other than I saw it on, like, you know, I saw it advertised.
Right.
I knew who it was about. And I saw some people making TikToks about it. And then I was like, oh, I guess this is a show. Ooh. And then I watched it. And I was like, I don't like it.
I mean, it's weird, right? The first episode is like Bewitched, and it is fully committed to being a sitcom. And most shows, by like 10 minutes in, it would reveal, here's the game we're playing.
Yeah.
But they don't really reveal it.
Easy. No spoilers.
There's a reason why people don't reveal the reasons behind things 10 minutes in, because I lasted 10 minutes and then I went to a different show.
Yeah. It is remarkable how much restraint the show has for like a big Disney tentpole Marvel show.
Yeah.
They are slowly unraveling the string, and it's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, well, I'll give it another shot.
Eugene, have you started? You're a Marvel boy.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm into WandaVision. I was telling Zach, cool. Isn't it crazy that Elizabeth the Olsen?
I know, right? Unexpected.
She took the Olsen mantle and not only ran with it, she flew, literally, because she's Wanda.
Right. Like, we had a feeling with Marsha, Marthy, May, Marlene, whatever that title is, they're like, okay, she's like dope, but now it's like, oh my god, she's the one. The chosen Olsen.
Cholson.
What was your idea?
Cholson.
You wanted to do Cholson. You had like a E! True Hollywood idea for our channel.
Oh, we just recreate untold celeb stories, but ones that people don't really care about or think about that often. You know?
You mean like celebrities that aren't that big of a deal?
Well, they're big deals, but no one is like, I'm going to tell the I'm going to tell the Elizabeth Olsen story, but it's going to be Zach playing the twins. Yeah, it's
like the less famous sibling, so like the other Culkins.
Yeah, that's good.
You know,
but who are also like killing it more, because like isn't he on Succession?
Yeah,
he's great.
So good, too.
You know what? You are right.
Elle Fanning is on The Great. Yeah. It's always the younger sibling of the child actor.
It's the year of the younger sibling.
They and their parents got to see what happened to the older sibling when they got famous. To like, okay, let's make sure this one stays on track.
I think the older sibling is just, they're just burnt out by the time they're 18.
Yeah, for sure.
Macaulay was working since forever.
They've been worked.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize how many movies Macaulay Culkin was in.
So many.
And then you look, and he was in so many at that time. He was fucking all over the place. Wow. And like, because they find that he was first in what John Candy, he was in a John Candy movie. And that's where like they found him initially. And then they put him in Home Alone because he was incredible. And then they just started making movies around him because he was so like dry and like weirdly smarmy and so good.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't know that Elizabeth Olsen was related to the Olsen twins until you texted it last night.
What?
Are you myself. Serious?
It's fine. Oh, yeah.
You just thought she just happened to be a...
Yeah, man. What can I say? Just pile on. Pile on. Didn't watch more than 10 minutes of WandaVision and didn't even know she was related to the twins.
Yeah, they have such similar facial features.
Can I test the younger sibling theory? I wanna run us by some older, younger, famous siblings and see who we prefer. Okay? All right. So we've already talked about Kieran Culkin, the man. Mm-hmm. Let me hit you with, and I think we're all Team L over Dakota.
I still don't love know about Dakota. That. I like both
Dakota's
of them.
Pretty funny. She's pretty weird.
Me over here, I don't think I could tell the difference between the two of them. You'd have to cite me like. Name, biography, like filmography, photos, and then maybe I still wouldn't really get it. Yeah, so
Dakota Fanning is the star of my favorite non-Marvel superhero Chris Evans film, Push. And I'm not talking about the novel based on Push by Sapphire. I'm talking about a movie where Chris Evans has the power to push stuff with his mind. And it's called Push. And Dakota Fanning is his sidekick.
Wow.
He can only push.
Yeah, we're doing that for sure, Miles. Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Push.
Push.
Okay, a classic, guys. Luke and Owen Wilson.
Okay,
well, I gotta give it to Owen.
Wow.
Yeah, Owen. Owen's too funny.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, Owen. Yes.
Yeah, he's real good.
Wow. Both very talented men, but Owen, in addition to being a great writer, also a screenwriter, wrote a lot of Wes Anderson movies with him. Owen's the younger bro. Gotta give it to Owen.
Wow.
Okay, are we done with the game?
But if not, do you have more?
Okay, I think this one's gonna break the game. Chris and Liam Hemsworth.
Oh, Chris. Well, I like Chris, but which one's older? Which one's younger?
Yeah, Chris is the older and clearly the superior.
Chris
is
good.
Yeah,
but I would do both of them in an instant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd bang both of them for
sure. So also, sometimes the sibling game is not like, you know, there's also who's just hotter, which is also a different question. Many times the hotter person is the less, I guess, like talent forward person. That's just true in the world. You know, I had a lot of friends who had siblings and they were like, they had a hot sibling. Their hot sibling was not very smart. Because, you know, when you're growing up, you got a sibling. They're like, okay, the parents are like, this is my hot kid. And then I guess this is my going to be my smart kid.
Ned, which one is which? Of your kids, which one's the hot kid? Which
Too
one's
early
the hot
tell,
kid?
Man.
Which
They're
one's the smart
babies.
Kid?
Wes seems brilliant.
Yeah.
He drew a W the other day. I was like, brilliant.
Wow.
He drew a W? I think it's a squiggle, Ned.
No, he drew a W and said, Wes, Miles, you know nothing of my life.
Wait a minute. Are you guys like, your parents never told you who was the best looking child?
Who was known to be the best looking child out of the Yangs?
Oh, okay, I hope my sisters don't listen to this, but I remember one day I was in trouble again with my mom for forgetting something, as I am wont to do. She's pissed at me and she looks at me and she says, "You better feel happy that you look like me, because it's the only thing going for you right now." Because I think it started with the classic...
Wait, so the answer is you?
Yeah, so it was kind of this roundabout way of her being like... Because she's very good at complimenting herself, but she was... It started with the, "Why can't you be more like your sisters? Why can't you be more like your sisters?" And I'm like, because I don't think that like them. And so both an insult and a compliment wrapped in one.
Wow.
Classic. I like that. I like that she included herself in the compliment spree.
She loves doing
that. Like, it wasn't just "you're attractive." It's like, "You look like me, and we both understand that I'm beautiful."
Guys, I'm going to tell you what. I am deep in Pop Sugar articles over here. I didn't realize. I knew they were like, I thought they were cousins. Emily Deschanel and Zooey Deschanel. You know, Emily from Bones. Zooey, obviously the star. She's the younger sibling. You got Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez. Yeah, they're siblings. I'm not saying I'm a Charlie stan, but he clearly had the better career. Younger sibling. We've got James
but Emilio
and Dave.
Estevez was in the Mighty Ducks. That's pretty fucking important.
That's pretty fucking important.
Okay, he's important. That's pretty pivotal role in most of our childhoods.
Did you ever try the knuckle puck as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
No, I did not have a hockey as an option for me, but the one time I did have a puck and a stick in my hand, the first thing I did was knuckle puck. Like, I didn't try to do anything else. So I was like, "You have hockey equipment? Let's go outside. I got a knuckle puck." It's just too exciting.
Yeah, I had one friend that was really into hockey, and somehow I had a stick.
We all did, right?
Oh, yeah, we did? Oh, cool. Well, I mean, sometimes he would like he would go at the ice skating rink, but then we would play like street hockey at his house, and it was so fun. It was the best. Just rollerblading around, like hitting people and just being bad at hockey.
My most salient memory of childhood is like being on a street playing street hockey where you're running around and then yelling, "Car!" And everyone running to the side.
Yeah, that's not how it was in Tennessee. There weren't enough cars to ever actually interrupt your game. So you didn't. And also, there weren't enough neighborhood kids to play a game with multiple kids. You just had one or two friends at a time, and maybe you'd go in the woods.
Well, speaking of wood, what would you do?
Wow, such a stretch.
We got a game, Miles.
Such a stretch. But that's right, ladies and gentlemen. You know it. You love it. There's a very viral TV show on a reality network to be determined, just because I haven't Googled it yet. But it's called What Would You Do? And they put people, regular everyday people, unknowingly into compromising situations to find out what would they do. Now, we've assembled a list of sort of situations here. Zach has the one that's sort of true to life, and then we have some from the show, some from the sort of twisted mind of Miles Bonsignor. And we're going to go through to find out truly what would you do.
Guess Keith hit us with the "What Would You Do" then song.
Well, I'll do the one from the 90s Nickelodeon show. What din it din 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 it, what din it din it din it, you din it din it din it, you do, with Mark Summers.
Hey everybody, I'm Mark Summers. So this is something that happened to me this week, and instead of just telling you guys the story, I thought I would break it down and at each point ask you what would you do, because I really did not know what to do in this scenario. I was walking Bowie and I come across a cell phone on a sidewalk.
What would you do?
Knucklepuck time. You just put that cell phone on its side and smack the fuck out of it. No, I
would open it up and call mom, whoever the person's mom was.
Oh, that's good. That's clever.
But normally it's locked.
Yeah, but here's the story. In my story, it's not locked, and I meet the person's mom.
Well, so, okay, so I'll tell you guys. I get to the cell phone, I see the cell phone on the ground, and I go to pick it up, and then I go, wait a second, no. If I dropped a cell phone, I would double back, right? I would retrace my steps. Mm-hmm. So I should leave it so that the person can find it. But wait, no. If I do that, then some other no good doer may come along who's not as nice as me, and they may pick up the phone, and they may sell it on the black market. So I ask you again.
What would you do?
Well, you're walking your dog, so you probably got dog poop bags. So first thing is you pick up the phone with the poop
bag. That's
right.
Can't be touching that phone.
Don't want your fingerprints to be traced in case it's like a murder evidence.
Could be a murder situation. A lot of facts. Yeah.
Was it an iPhone?
It was an iPhone.
Okay,
so
that changes
it. That is definitely locked with a passcode. So I can't call mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you try and unlock it?
The correct answer is... I picked up the phone because I don't want no other no good doer coming around and trying to steal this phone and sell it on the black market. But I pick it up and I look around. And actually, I did have a moment where I was like, am I on a hidden camera TV show to see if I do the right thing? I wasn't. But yeah, the phone was locked. Huh. So once again, I now am standing on the sidewalk with a locked phone in the middle of Los Angeles in a pandemic. Nobody around me.
What would you do?
So in that sense, once you know it's locked, I'm just putting it right back down and moving on around my day. If somebody picks it up, sells it on the black market, that's their problem. I'm not going to sit there all day with a freaking lemonade cooler and just ask, hey, did you drop a phone? Did you drop a phone? Like, maybe I'll try and move it away from a dangerous position to a safe position, but what am I going to do with a phone?
Take it to the Apple Store.
Woo! Yeah!
Buzz, take it to the Apple Store.
Is that a thing you can do?
How come?
Yeah. Yeah, because they will be able to unlock it. They will be able to pin it, and they'll be able to find who the owner is for their their Apple ID, and they'll be able to contact them.
I don't know if they can just unlock a phone like that.
Oh,
absolutely they can. Absolutely the nerds there know how to get into your phone. Are you fucking crazy? They absolutely know how to figure it out. Yeah, it's theirs.
Zach, here's my question. Art, did you live right there where the phone was?
I was a few blocks away from home. I was about 3 blocks.
Here's what I think you do. I think you here's what I would do if I was in that situation. You pick that puppy up. First, try 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh my God, you're just going to randomly try passwords.
I did try 1, 2, 3, 4.
You
got
to try 1, 2, 3, 4, Ned. You got to try it. If that doesn't work, then you're shit out of luck. And here's what you do. Take the phone.
Zero, 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 zero.
It with you. By the way, you got to try 0000. If that doesn't work, then you're really shit out of luck. And here's what you got to do. Keep it with you, because when they do the iPhone satellite, I lost my phone thing, they can send a message to be like, call this number if I have my phone. If it's close to where you picked it up, they're not going to think you stole it. Maybe they would. But I would keep it with me to wait for that ping so you can call that number and be like, I've got your phone.
I think they're going
to
text their own phone.
Now, you guys are all close.
What do you think, Eugene?
But Eugene, you've been stewing, you've been marinating on an answer, and I'm wondering...
What would you do?
What would you do? I don't need to marinate. Y'all know I've lost like 30 phones, right? Like, I have lost so many phones because mainly they've gotten stolen because I don't like wearing phones in my pants.
Right.
I
put them on a table.
I'll put them like on a table next to me.
Misdirection.
I would definitely pick up the phone because chances are someone else passing by it will steal it. And typically, I've retrieved a phone when I've called it myself from someone else's phone. And you can answer a call even if it's locked. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically, if the person is smart, they would call their phone from their friend's phone, and you can say, oh, hi, I actually found your phone, and then you would give it back. Mm-hmm. If all else fails, I would probably do what Keith did and take it to the Apple
They store. Might give you $100 cash just as like a thanks.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
They might.
Now, Eugene,
that's true.
That is the best answer yet. However,
there's something else you can do.
Even if an iPhone is locked, you can press and hold the side button, going full circle from the beginning of the pod. You can access Siri. That's right. So, God, no, Siri, go away. I said the name and she came up. So what I did is I took it. And as Ned said in the beginning, I used that person. to try and call mom. Whoa. This person didn't have a mom.
Wait, you actually tried to call
mom? So then
mom?
I said...
Wait, so I
tried
I was
to
right?
call mom. Didn't have a mom programmed. Whoa. You were right, Ned. I tried to call dad. No dad. Tried to call boyfriend? No boyfriend, right?
An
I mean, who programs is that?
A single orphan lost their phone.
So then I'm just like, okay, just names. So then I'm just like, call Joe.
It's and chaotic.
There's no Joe, but there is a Joel. So I'm like, yes, we're doing this. So I call Joel. Joel answers the phone.
What would you do?
This is crazy. This is crazy. Who is
Joel? Nah, man, once you're connected with Joel, you're in, baby. You are gold.
Yeah. You just ask who's... You found the phone. Whose phone is this? Can I get it back to this person?
The Try Guys. You may have seen our videos online. Go to tryguys.com to get the merch. Do you know whose phone this is?
I'm talking to Joel. I'm talking to Joel, who's a very confused and sweet elderly man. I can tell by the timbre of his voice.
Hang up. Abort.
You hang up. You call Mark.
I, for some reason, I'm committed to Joel. I didn't hang up, so I'm like, hey, here's who I am. I found this phone. I'm trying to get back to the owner. Do you have a way of contacting her? And he's like, oh, yeah, I could call her. I'm like, no, Joel, you can't call her. I've got her phone.
Joel, bad news. Abort.
So then he's like, he says, I could email her. So I'm like, yes, Joel, email her. So Joel sends an email,
Joel.
And I say, Joel, have her call me. I'm going to keep this phone because I'm a goddamn hero. But I'm not waiting for fucking Joel.
Yeah.
So I go back to Siri and I call Sarah, the other most common name I can think
was
of.
Was it under Sarah Black Market? And then you pawned it off on the black market, right?
Sarah seemed a little annoyed. Like, I don't know if she and this person are on the best terms.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're like dredging up their past. It's horrible.
I mean, imagine if you got, think about like the one person from high school that you haven't talked to in 12 years, but whose number is still saved, and they call you out of the blue. I don't even know that I would answer that call, but I was 2 for 2. They got in contact with the owner, whose name I don't know. She drives up to me. She had dropped, you know what it was? She was pushing her kid in a stroller, she said, and her kid threw it out of the stroller. But now she comes back to me, doesn't offer me a cash reward.
What would you do?
Well, was she nice? About, was she grateful? Like,
have you already exchanged
What was her demeanor?
Phone?
Was she like a jerk? She's like, fuck you, give me my phone. Or was she like, thank you so much for the phone?
I'm sure she was grateful. I don't think that deserves a cash award.
I mean, it's a pandemic. Times are tough. Not everyone's like a, you know, lady wearing a fur coat. Being like, oh, thank you for rescuing my phone, dearie.
I was just going skiing.
Well, I forgot one detail. So I did not want to catch reward. I just wanted to do the right thing, get it back to the person. She was incredibly sweet and grateful. But while I was waiting for her, before she called me, I got another call.
Oh.
So I called Joel. I called Sarah. Third person called. And it was like a someone from a bank or a housing something, someone who was trying to reach her. And I'm like, oh no, this is Zach. I found this phone. I'm trying to get it back to the person. He's like, oh, I'm sure you could get a cash reward for that. And I'm like, no, I just want to give it back to her. And he's like, well, I have her information. Do you want her address?
For a finder's
like,
fee.
I said, I don't think that you can legally, in my mind, I don't know that you can legally just give addresses, but I said, sure. She lived in fucking Anaheim.
Oh.
What was she doing walking her kid in your neighborhood?
Some doesn't
suspicious. Suspicious.
Maybe he was a salesperson. If they were calling from like a health insurance company, they aren't allowed to do that. But if it's just like a telemarketer, they can do whatever the fuck they want.
The final details of the story is that she had on her, it was a worn out Staples phone case, like the store Staples. So here I'm thinking like I'm helping some, you know, some good working person who's like, just like she drives up in a fucking Tesla and I'm like, oh, God damn it. Could have just left the phone, let someone steal it, make a buck. People need money.
She
right
gets
now,
in the car.
I can't help the criminals.
She gets in the car with her phone back with her and says, hits a button and goes, that was easy.
What a dated reference.
Well, that was my what would you do, but Miles, you got some more
for us.
That
was exciting. Okay. I feel like a schmuck now for just leaving it on the ground, but yeah.
Maybe well, you know, it's good advice to, I don't have my parents in my phone by mom or dad. I have their names. So maybe I should put mom and dad in, because I don't want them calling like all my old hookups, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Wait, have y'all erased your old hookups from your phone?
No, I've got a full catalog. I have not gone through and taken out names.
From like, I've had the same phone numbers for like over 10 years.
I have like 400 or so numbers in my phone that are just like people that were college improvisers that I worked with when I ran the college improv tournament, and I just never deleted them. So I just have like so many fucking contacts that are like Nathan, Kansas, CIT, Jennifer, Seattle, CIT. And like, they're just because college improv tournament was what it was. And they're just millions of them.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, I guess they're just there. They're just in my phone. They have no idea, but I just have all these people's phone numbers. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I just have them. They're nice to look at.
My favorite thing is if this is all my old college weed dealers, if you just type in drugs, that's their last name.
I'm going to have to blur that. I'm going to have to blur that. You just doxed all the drugs.
They're weed dealers. You don't know their identity. You don't know. Anthony Drugs don't know who he is.
Their last name isn't actually Drugs, Miles.
Brendan Drugs.
Zach, that was 12 names. That is so many dealers.
Nadia Drugs. Well, yeah, I mean, weed dealers come and go in college. You gotta have a rotation.
For our last little bit, we're going to do kind of a speed round with some of these situations, some of them from the reality show and some of them from the twisted brain of Miles Bonsignor. And these are sort of the way the show works. They'll just set up a situation, usually in a diner or a restaurant, and then they'll have hidden cameras everywhere to see what people do.
Wait, so Miles, there's no accent on the second E of your name. We've just been just tacking that on this whole time.
I'm sorry. What? No, it's Bonsignor. So here's the thing. I say Bonsignor. It is Bonsignore.
Oh, so we're doing it right.
That's how you would say it. But I say Bonsignor because, like, people don't have time.
No further questions.
Okay. First situation.
My last name's actually pronounced Cornfelde.
Can we get to the fucking game? Can we get to the fucking game?
Keith's pissed.
We had to go through 18 rounds of Zach's phone story. Give me just one other scenario.
Okay. Zach was asking, what would you do for, like, nothing. It was like
you're a little short of breath.
What would you do? I opened the door.
I guess I'll breathe. I'll breathe harder.
All right. So this is a situation. And again, I didn't watch these videos. I just took them based on the titles. But this is what. Okay. So picture this. You're going ziplining. You're so excited. You and maybe I think it's better if you're alone. But you're alone. You're ziplining. Well, maybe your family was at brunch at like the resort you're at, and you decided, oh, I'm going to go anyway. I really
That's
am excited
so
about
sad.
This.
Who would zipline by themselves?
That's so sad. Man.
That is like
so sad.
No one would voluntarily zipline. Could you? What? Like you're in a group of zipliners, and there's one dude by himself. Wouldn't you just be so skeeved out?
Miles, I'm thrilled that you asked. If I saw someone ziplining by himself, I'd say, "Hey, buddy, join our crew."
Yeah, I think
that's what I would.
We're not there yet. We're so close to the thing.
Give me your phone.
All right, so you're ziplining, right? And the people ahead of you are actually, I think it's better if they're behind you. The people behind you.
Which is it?
Okay, they're behind you. Is an old man and a young woman. And you can tell that it's a granddaughter and a grandpa. And the granddaughter is wondering out loud if grandpa is too old and weak for the zipline. And the grandpa looks pretty weak. And you're told that, like, the zip line can have it's like intense, it goes fast, it moves fast. And the granddaughter's like, "Grandpa, I don't think you should go on the zip line." And the grandpa's like, I'm gonna go on the zip line. And you're like,
but he was just talking about how he thought he shouldn't.
Well, no, yeah,
he's saying the daughter is saying he shouldn't, and he wants
the daughter is saying,
but you think
the
granddaughter
is saying,
you think he looks
granddaughter's saying that.
Sickly.
So you see this old man, and he might croak on the zip line. What do you do?
Do I own the zip line company? No, then you're nothing, you're at the, you're Miles. Freaking... It's not my business. If I'm an owner operator, okay. I have a responsibility to be like, excuse me, sir. I know you signed the waiver, mm-hmm. but you really shouldn't do this. Mm-hmm. But if I'm just there partying by myself while my parents are having brunch in Cabo.
Ned said moral culpability. Who? We're talking about legal responsibility exclusively. Right.
I would be like, if the daughter is like being very vocal about it, but I'd be like, well, sir, I think your granddaughter is uncomfortable by this. You know, I'd consider maybe not riding it. And then if he's like, fuck you, I'm going to do it. I'd be like, all right, fuck me, man. See ya. Because they're behind me. So I'm zipping away right after that. I'm like, peace.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's like a really cool exit.
That's true. I mean, maybe if he collapses, then I would go and like try and catch him and help out. But, like, I'm not going to insert myself in their business. I don't know their life.
Yeah, you're not going to be like, you probably shouldn't go in the zip
line. Yeah, no way ancient. I'm going to do that.
I know exactly what I would do. I've been on many zip lines in my life, and everyone thinks that it's this, like, extreme sport. It is the most relaxing, chill, laid-back experience you can ever do. In fact, the less you do, the better. You just basically hang there. If you do nothing, it is like just a gentle breeze of air. So I would say, yo, lady, you best show your elder some respect. Mm-hmm. He wants to do this. Mm-hmm. I would actually probably just be like, it's actually not that bad. It's pretty chill. But also, this is clearly how this guy wants to go. And if he dies soaring through the air like a goddamn eagle, I say let him.
Yeah, that's good.
Miles did say that this one was intense. He specified this zip line is pretty fucking intense.
It's like you see the people who are like able-bodied at the bottom, and they look like, whoa. Like they're like, whoa, that was big. You hear? Yeah, exactly. All right.
Well, let's change it. It's not a zip line. It's a roller coaster. It's the fucking, the X2 at Six Flags.
Oh, fuck, yeah. That one's intense.
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
Intense. I can't recommend that one to people. It's too
bewildering.
Yeah, I
mean, I might chime in and be like, it is pretty intense, man.
It's it is pretty intense, brother.
It's like,
they actually set this up on a TV show at a zip line course.
Yes.
At a zip line course?
What would you do?
Yes, they did.
You know, honestly, I would only get into someone's business if it was clear that there was a, I guess, someone who had less power in the situation or seemed like that they were being taken advantage of. So I guess depending on... Yeah, if the granddaughter seemed like she was being yelled at for no reason.
If grandpa's like, please, no, don't make me.
Yeah.
And the daughter's like, no, grandpa, we're doing it together.
If she's
get
being awful to him...
strapped in. Quit being a
I think
bitch,
I would respond
grandpa.
More to the tone of their argument. Yeah. But if they're just having an adult-to-adult argument, then I'd probably just like be like, Grandpa wants to do it. Grandpa does it.
All right. Well, we don't have a ton of time, so we're just going to do one more. This is a big segment here. All right. Picture this. You're out to sushi. You're with a couple people. You're with some friends. It's a nice sushi restaurant, but it's new. It's definitely new. And you kind of look, and there appears to be... Like, you hear a little bit of noise in the back in the kitchen, but it's okay for the most part. And the big thing everyone's excited to get is the this special tuna sashimi.
Okay.
And it comes out, and you take one look at it, and you know that the tuna sashimi is chicken. It is raw chicken. You ask the waiter, and he totally denies it.
What
would you do?
What? This was on the show, too?
Well, again, some of these are from the twisted brain of Miles Bonsignor, and some of
so
these are
I
from-
just and I just know, like, I see a chicken going in a grinder.
Oh, no, it's chicken. You see, you know what tell. Chicken smells like and looks like.
Yeah, I mean,
you can tell that it's chicken.
Then you just
that's not
back.
A hard question, Miles. You just
it's raw chicken, bro.
Everybody in this, it's not everybody like- in the restaurant. Has gotten the special, and some people are enjoying it.
Well, they shouldn't be eating raw chicken. That's the...
Well, oh, man. If you're seeing other people be chowing down on raw chicken...
Yeah, and the waiter's like, no, it's tuna.
I don't, you know...
Okay, I'm just joking. This lightning round. I'm going to make a big stink about it. I'm going to be like, people, people.
Yeah, that is the
you're eating chicken.
That is the situation where you really should ask to talk to the manager.
Yeah,
that's such a Karen. He's.
I think you just get up and leave and be like, I don't think I can continue this meal. This is clearly chicken. I'm gonna go.
But if other people are eating, you gotta get this situation correct.
I mean, that's when you gotta call the fucking health department.
You might even call the health inspector on them. I don't know if you want to do that because I would do it like anonymously, maybe. I don't want them to show up and somehow I happen to be wrong and they're like, this is too absurd. And they're like, my bad.
Yeah, you think you're pretty sure it's chicken, but you know, it's wrong.
You said we knew it.
Well, I'll say this, Keith. You get up. Yeah, right. The waiter says to you, I'm so sorry. Look, sorry for the misunderstanding. Let me bring you out something else.
Okay.
And he goes back and he brings you out another food. I mean, this time it is absolutely chicken.
It was already chicken.
Miles, this is
the twisted mind of Miles Bongiorni has a lot of holes in it, and a lot of backtracking and twisting of scenarios.
If I'm with close friends and there's another option close by, you know, I might just put some cash on the table and leave, assuming that we're like, you know, three drinks deep into some cocktails.
Yeah, I mean, Ned, I get that, and you go into the second restaurant and you sit down, and you say you kind of you're like, let me have, you know, I don't know, whatever the special is, and then
a bananas Foster,
a bananas Foster.
Then he comes out, it's raw chicken.
Okay, Miles is the answer. I bust out my tableside hibachi, grill that shit, and then
there we go,
chow down. Tip them 25%.
Yeah, that is correct.
The gift of an experience.
And that is obviously the right answer. And that concludes our round of what would you do?
What a thrilling game. We'll have to play that again sometime. What would you do? You're out here listening. What comment below? What would you do in these situations? And if you're still not sure, you might need some advice. So that brings us to our final segment.
Wait. Hold on. Just... I got a comment on what transpired.
What?
We set up this amazing What Would You Do game where I was expecting these moral quandaries that would really challenge us.
Yeah.
And then Zach tells a 30-minute story about returning a phone where there's no question of what to do. It's more just him congratulating himself for doing a good deed.
Yeah, it's true.
And then Miles presents two... absolutely ridiculous scenarios that no one would ever feel compelled to be in.
And no one would find themselves
themselves
in. It's just not a thing you're going to encounter.
That is the tripod promise. We're going to both under and over deliver on any prompt that we set up. I'm so upset and enthralled. I have a mixture of feelings, but
yeah.
So you sign up to take a picture with a man dressed as a bear, but when you get there, you get stabbed in the stomach. What would you do?
Buy a chicken.
You're in a bathtub and you're hungry, but you only have raw eggs. What would you do?
I have so many other good ones, but we're going to have to save them.
You go
for
to the mall
time.
And there's only one parking spot left, but before you get there, another one opens up. What would you do?
Now there's two spots. Where do you park?
You need really good advice, and the only person who can give it is Miles Bonsignore.
Bonsignore. What would you do?
I'd play the theme song, but my mixers and my sampler's not working, so we can just pretend.
I was wondering why you weren't doing any fun sounds, because this is a whole game show. You had the whole world to do, but...
I know, I was trying. Oh, I set it up, but then the sampler didn't work, so I just had this sound effect.
That's the best sound effect to have.
I only have a bleep.
Wait, so you don't have the Miles theme song?
Yeah, but I'll put it in post. Or I won't, and that'd be kind of fun, too. Yeah. What's up, Miles Nation? How's everybody doing tonight? Have you ever wanted a little white snack?
White snack?
Marshmallows.
Have you ever wanted to... eat a grain that is not bread,
rice.
But
s'mores.
Is good for you to have Asian style.
He's talking about rice, or maybe like a white.
If he's talking about rice, I'm going to throw my computer.
Or couscous.
You're talking about rice. You're talking about plain white rice. Miles, you naughty boy. Miles, you are smiling like a little cherub. Is it plain white rice?
Plain white rice is the advice. That's not even advice. Okay. That's just a food.
Yummy, yummy in your tummy. You're gonna want a dish that won't upset the bank.
I hate this segment so much.
And that's gonna bring you joy, furikake style.
Oh my god.
Have yourself a plain little white rice. I've been using my Instapot to have rice in the morning. And I've found that it's a good brekkie that doesn't feel too sugary. Egg on top, rice on bottom. Show me what's between your sheets.
I'm listening. I'm still listening.
Okay, let me interrupt you and give you the best breakfast I've had recently. You're almost there. So it's rice, runny egg, and chili oil.
Oh!
Fucking chili oil. And it's so amazing. So amazing. And it is... a little salt. You can put some other things in there, but chili oil is really all you need. And I found one recently that's like nice and mild, but very, very flavorful. But like, it is bomb.com.
Yeah, you got to do a little soy sauce with sesame oil on that too.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing, Eugene. I've been doing soy sauce, sesame oil, and then just a little bit of furikake stuff on top. And that's been real good with the egg. Eugene, I'll ask you this. When you make your rice... Are you putting salt and/or butter in the raw as it cooks?
Nah.
Or no?
Asians don't care about that.
You know me, Miles. When I cook rice, I slather that shit in butter and salt because I have no other ideas of how to make it taste good. But that's what I learned from my mom.
I've been liking the rice taste. And I mean, this is unbelievable stuff over here that I've been eating. It's been really good. And I've been having rice, I mean, at this point, three times a day. Like, I've been having breakfast, lunch, and dinner. White, plain white rice. And I'll say this. I saw a thing on TikTok. Who knows if it's true, but it's science.
We pay you, right?
Huh?
you get paid, right?
I don't know.
Is there an accounting error? Are you not getting paid?
I thought that this was just like a fun thing we all did.
I think you're supposed to get paid.
This is your job, paying you to come up with these
Miles,
segments?
He puts all his money into the soundboard.
I assume this was a hobby. I've been sort of leeching money out of the company.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I've been having the rice, and it's been a
What's
blast.
What's the best type of rice cooker to get?
Fucking just get a rice cooker, like any rice cooker.
Any of them.
Just get one.
Yeah.
Most people don't own
them. An Instant Pot.
I have a little tiny one, but I feel like I might need to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you want, they have ones that are like combos. You can Instant Pot shit. You can like broil whatever in it. But if you just get a regular rice cooker, you can get them for cheap at like an Asian store.
You need a bigger one. Yeah, you should. Mike Chen seems to know what to do with like how to expand your rice cooker. He does like, he puts rice and makes it, but he also just throws in like leftover KFC to make just leftover fried chicken rice. And it looks incredible every time. I'm like, that's a great idea. What a delicious way to put oil on your food.
All right. Well, that just about concludes this show. We had a bunch of technical issues right at the end, but you have to sign off, boys.
Man, what a roller coaster that was.
That was wild. What a great episode, though. And we did it. We did it, everybody. We did it. Perfect episode. Technical things aside, a real roller coaster. But, you know, I hope you're having a good one out there. Stay safe. Do the right thing. Be nice. Love one another.
And, you know, why don't you send us a question of what would you do?
Yeah.
We want to know what you would do.
Yeah, comment.
Give us some real moral quandaries.
Yeah.
We'll do it again next week, but for real. Like, subscribe, tell your friends, get the merch, do all the shit. Keith, hit us with the Eventual Tripod theme song.
What? It's a tripod.
Until next time, stay beautiful. You ever mix tuna and chicken up?
Yeah, I mean, so many times, brother.